Now he says to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Now, the word sanctified actually is not in our better manuscripts, and some of our best scholars have called attention to it, the New Scofield Reference Bible, and they have a good note on this. They say literally that it should be translated like this: call beloved in God the Father and kept for Jesus Christ. In other words, the word sanctified is actually the word beloved or loved of God. Now, this is something that we need to note very carefully because it's very important here. He calls himself a bond slave of Jesus Christ. And again, let me, as we move along, say this again, that he absolutely does not claim a blood relationship as if that would give him a superiority. And that ought to lay to rest the notion that arose in the early church after the apostles. It came along in that post-apostolic period of treating all the family as if they were sort of super-dupers, you know. But Vincent, the outstanding Greek scholar, says that Jude does not allude to his relationship to the Lord may be explained by the fact that the natural relationship in his mind would be subordinate to the spiritual, and that such a designation would not be of any value. And Dean Alford puts it like this: they have been in harmony with those later and superstitious feelings with which the next and following ages regarded our Lord's earthly relatives. That's important. Now we move on to them that are sanctified by God. Now, both Nestle and Westcott and Hart, who have, I suppose, the best Greek texts that we have today, they use the verb agapao, to love, instead of hagiadzo, to sanctify. And that, I think scholars agree, is accurate. And it makes it just a little bit more precious to our hearts that are sanctified by God the Father, that are beloved by God the Father. Now, I would like to share with you the translation of Dr. Wiest, the late Greek scholar at the Moody Bible Institute. And he has given us a translation in many places, though it is a little involved. It certainly brings out the original meaning, and he had a knack for that. So I'm going to read that now in the translation he has. Jude, a bond slave of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who by God the Father have been loved and are in a state of being the permanent objects of his love, and who for Jesus Christ have been guarded, are in a permanent state of being carefully watched to those who are called the called ones. Now, this is a very important passage of Scripture, by the way. They've been loved. And I would like to dwell on this for just a moment, because they're beloved of God the Father, and they are preserved for Jesus Christ and called. Now, there's several words there that I must deal with in this text because they're very important to see. The first word here is preserved. That word is the word that you're going to find that gives us the key to this little book. Actually, this little book is going to present the apostasy as it's presented nowhere in Scripture, and how frightful that it is. But he doesn't write just to frighten the daylights out of you. He doesn't write just to draw a vivid picture, which he does, of the apostasy. But he gives this dark background in order that he might give assurance in days of apostasy. And in other words, he uses here the word keep five times. That's what the word preserve means. They're kept in Jesus Christ. And it means that God is the one that keeps them. You find it again in verse 6, the angels who are kept. And then you'll find it again when you get down to verse 21. Keep yourselves in the love of God. And then in verse 24, now unto him that's able to keep you from falling. Now, this has to do with the keeping power of God to keep those that are his own. And you can call it anything you want to, but it gives assurance of salvation to the believer, even in the dark days of apostasy. And as we are going to see, I believe that we are in the apostasy today, but how much farther we'll go in it before the rapture, I do not know, and I'm sure that no one else knows. But we are definitely in times of apostasy. And this word here, that we are preserved, it can be translated kept. But the interesting thing is about preserved, there are two ways of preserving things in the physical world. One is with vinegar, and one is with sugar. Now, there are a lot of saints today that I think they are preserved, all right, but they're preserved in vinegar, and they act that way. And they have a vinegar disposition. And then there are those that are preserved in sugar. And they are sugar and spice and everything is nice. And they're not just all women either, by the way. They are another group of saints. But I would not want to say that they're not saints of God because they're preserved in vinegar. Because I think that they are. And the perseverance of the saints here is by his grace, which preserves or keeps them. They overcame him, how? By the blood of the Lamb. That's the only way that they're going to make it through the great tribulation. Those that are here, they will overcome by the blood of the Lamb. And that's the only way we are going to overcome today. There'll be no merit in us. And I do have to resort back to the illustration that the Lord Jesus himself gave. I am, he says, the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Then he goes on to talk about his sheep. He says, my sheep hear my voice. I know them, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Now, if the sheep are saved, it's no merit to them. If they are kept, the merit goes to the shepherd, because a sheep cannot defend himself. He doesn't have sharp teeth. He has no fangs. Can't fight that way. And he doesn't have any claws. And he can't run. If he was like a jackrabbit, can't defend himself either. But a jackrabbit can get away from trouble. But a sheep can't even do that. A sheep is helpless unless it has a good shepherd. And if a sheep can say, I'm safe, and I know that I'm saved. The sheep is not boasting. All the sheep is saying is, I'm boasting I've got a good shepherd. I've got a wonderful shepherd. And my friend, if you are saying that you're not sure, then you really are reflecting on your shepherd, because he says that he can keep you. He says, no created thing's going to take them out of my hand and my Father's hand. We're going to hold on to you. Now, it's not a question whether I can hold on. It's a question whether he can hold on. And he says he can. And it's a matter of trusting him. You see, assurance of salvation rests upon the Word of God and what God has said. And it's a question of whether you believe him, whether you trust him or not. It all rests upon that, because he's made it very clear that you have a sure salvation. And here we are presented with the dark days of apostasy. And he still says that he's able to keep them. Now, not only are they preserved in Jesus Christ, we're safe in him. We are today accepted in the Beloved. No one can pluck us out of his hand. He says here, and call. This word call, though it has in it the thought of an invitation that is sent out and accepted, it's more than that. The word call, actually, as it's used in the Scripture, is not only an invitation that is sent out, but it's an invitation that has been accepted and been made real because of the Spirit of God. And let me give you Paul's statement of this. He says in 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, verse 22, "For the Jews require a sign, the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, but unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God." Now, if you have found in Christ the wisdom and power of God, and you've trusted Him, you're the call, my friend. And that's what he's talking about. This is the invitation that has been sent out, and when it's accepted and believed, then you're the call. That's exactly what he means here, and it's what Paul means, because Paul spelled it out for us.